I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Weekends were made for sports.
How would you like to play for the New England Patriots?
Oh, I'd love to.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers.
Everyone, meet freelance alien bounty hunter Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp? The football guy?
Yeah, I hunt aliens now. Used to catch TDs, now I catch ETs.
You ever caught an alien, Shannon?
Not yet, Mr. Question, but I'll let you know when I do.
This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
Oh, isn't this wonderful? Look at this room. What a beautiful room. Have you seen this room?
Yes. We're in it.
And Rashad Taylor.
Okay, dude, I can see you don't want to be cheered up here. Come on, Donnie, let's go get us a lane.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1080, The Fan.
Hour two of two right here on beautiful, is Bancroft Street? Are we on Bancroft?
What about Bancroft?
Are we on Bancroft Street?
Yeah.
Beautiful day out here. Wonderful North. Southwest.
Yeah.
Okay. It's right here on the
Southwest waterfront. Yeah.
You heard it here first or second, I guess.
They've been building up this waterfront for a while now. It's too bad too, because that baseball stadium would look really good a couple blocks north of us.
It would have looked great. And there's still some places I think you could still put it, but they're really adamant on like having some water like somewhere in the background. And I'm like, I get it, but don't let that be the reason you don't build a baseball stadium because you can't get a river view. Like, come on, man.
It really is. I mean, I agree. I think, you know, a lot about baseball is the aesthetics. You know, there's so much downtime, so much looking around and enjoying the scenery. And
well, I mean, Safeco Field isn't like, it's not like an awesome location. Like, I mean, you know, it's cool.
No,
but it's kind of more in like almost the industrial part
in the industrial
of
area,
Seattle.
Yeah. That's kind of where it would be for us as well. It's just they want it to be, hey, you still have it near the water though in Seattle. And that's what they want. You want it near the water. You know, we talked about this last week about, you know, down in San Francisco, you know, they get that interaction to fans that aren't even at the game with them being on their boats and kayaks out there waiting for home runs to come out there and try to get those home run balls. So being able to do little things like that can go a long way towards keeping people interactive with the team, even if it's not necessarily very good.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just so many things to do at a baseball game that I'm not necessarily tripping on seeing the river in the background. Like, cool, don't get me wrong, but
I think
there's so many good food, and so much good food, and so many different types of beer to try in the beer garden, so many people to flirt with. Like, I'm not really as concerned with where the placement of the river is.
Yeah, I mean,
just saying.
You don't want it to be like the one part. Like, I know we've talked about it also being at the horse track, you know, at Meadows. But at the same time, there's nothing around Meadows. Like, I go there all the time.
I'm curious if there's anybody in Portland that's really like, man, yes, that river in the background is really going to be the selling point for me. That's what's going to make me go to the games more often. Like, I mean, McCovey Cove, like, that's awesome. Like, if you're a San Francisco fan, like, that's an awesome place to be. You know, you knock the balls right into the river and everything. Man, that's tight, you know, but we're not going to be that close to the river.
Don't you have to, though, like, think about every aspect like that, though, when you're, you have 81 games, I think it is, every year that you have to get people in the seats, right? So that's a lot of games.
Yeah.
So you got 81 games, you got to get them in the seat. If you don't win, people don't want to come. You're thinking, oh, well, this is a mentality that's been taking over more and more and more as TVs and entertainment centers have gotten nicer. Why would I go to a a stadium when I can watch it at home. It's a more comfortable setting. I get better views. I get, you know, more information. And there's just so many reasons why you would rather stay home as opposed to go to the game. I think you do have to look at every aspect of how you get butts in the seats when you have 81 games that you need to do that.
No, yeah. I mean, but I could be wrong, but I don't know if that would be a major selling point for now. For the outsiders taking pictures and stuff like that before you go in, hey, let's take a picture, going to the game, selfies, like, okay, like that part is okay. But you know, the Rose Garden, I mean, granted, it's, or Moda Center, it's by a river, but it's like,
no, but
nobody's taking pictures on the steel bridge to be able to, like, have that aesthetics of the river in the background.
It is still, like, kind of part of the downtown, though, even though it's on the other side of the river.
So
you know?
When they do
and
the,
I know they want
the wide
that
shot
as well.
From the top, and they show the river and the rose. Okay, yeah, that's tight, but
for a TV aspect, too, that's going to happen during baseball games. If you're showing, like, wide shots of the stadium, if it's over at where, you know, Portland Meadows is, you're going, what is that all around there? Because it's not nice. Like, you got the Columbia Slough not too far away, but it's not close enough to where you're going. That's kind of in a really, you know, that's not
oh, no,
a very
you
nice
definitely
part
don't
of town.
Want any shots of the Columbia Slough. Probably not what you want. So, like I said, I don't care. Just bring baseball here, damn it. I could care less about where it's played. You can play it at PG Park like you used to do with the Beavers. I will be there. So
yeah, I probably won't.
We're kind of running out of time. Just want to mention it, I guess, really fast, because I think it's been really overblown through the week, because I think it's an important topic, but I think it's been dissected and discussed since it happened a lot over the past week. So the NFL implemented a new policy in regards to their stance on the national anthem protest. So if players are going to protest, they should do so from the locker room or from the tunnel. They do not want players who will not be participating in the national anthem to stand on the sidelines with their teams and coaches. It was hard for me to say I don't agree with this, because I think this can do more harm to the NFL than good. If you look at a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, who have been very outspoken, especially guys like Chris Long and some of the other like key characters on their team, been very outspoken. And now I think Michael Bennett is also a Philadelphia Eagle at this point, correct?
So, I believe so, yeah.
Those are two people that have been really on the forefront of the protest and police brutality and some of those things. I think this could result in, man, a lot of guys staying in the locker room, if nothing else, in support of their teammates. You know, we've seen before, especially after number 45 came out and made the I would find the SOBs for doing that. And then you saw the big show of support throughout the league and the owners and things like that. But that only lasted for about a week. Ray Lewis said he was just praying, though. He wasn't kneeling for the flag. He was just praying that this madness be over with or whatever. Don't like Ray Lewis, but whatever. Again, I think this can, and I know we have to get ready to go, I think this is going to do more harm than good. The other reason is they never contacted the NFLPA. They never let the Players Association know this is something that will be put to a vote. They never got to vote on it. So now you're starting to hear players come out and talk about it. But also, you're starting to hear people from other leagues come out and say something, one of which being the coach of the defending world champions, the Golden State Warriors.
I think it's just typical of the NFL. You know, they're just playing to their fan base, and they're just, basically trying to use the anthem as fake patriotism, nationalism, scaring people. It's idiotic, but that's how the NFL has handled their business, and I'm proud to be in a league that understands patriotism in America is about free speech, about peacefully protesting.
I mean, Steve Kerr has also been one of the people that, as these things have happened nationally, has been very outspoken on behalf of his team, on behalf of some of the players he's played with, as well as Greg Popovich. There's been a lot of strong support from NBA coaches and players and things like that. I think the NFL has a real problem on their hands because it's easy to say, well, just stay in your locker room. But what happens when, man, half the team stays in the locker room? What are those aesthetically? What does that look like now?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. This is possibly more divisive than kneeling ever was because now I look at it as so before it was disrespectful to go and kneel. I mean, they were still, I think most of them were still putting their hands over their heart. They were just kneeling for the national anthem. And that became a big issue. Now they're not even going to come out for it. They're not even going to represent themselves for the national anthem. That to me is a bigger deal.
And now, not only that, now, man, this might be an extra time for some guys to finish up doing some stuff in the locker room. Man, take my little pregame dump or whatever. I don't have to go out there for the anthem anymore. Mind you, this was something that they made players start doing. Was it 2012?
Yeah, it was 2009? Just a few years ago.
Yeah. So this wasn't something that has been happening in the NFL for years. This is relatively recent, like about the last 6 years or so. So if I know that, wait a minute, I don't have to go out there and I won't get fined. Yeah, I'm going to stay in the locker room I don't need to do the national anthem. I'm going to finish getting my arm wrapped up or I'm going to finish doing this. I think you can see a lot more of that than guys just going out there and getting ready to go on the field.
Yeah, it's I don't think this was the right solution by any means. I don't know what the right solution would be. I don't know if there really is a right solution, but I agree. I think you have a problem that's not going away with the NFL, and it's possibly been exacerbated by the decision that they just made.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, man, we have another Game 7. We spoke about it. We'll finish it up, man. Rockets, Warriors, Game 7 in Houston. We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Baby, I'm going crazy. Baby, I'm going now. Baby, I'm out of my mind. This is a great record. I forgot all about that song. That was a good song, man.
Yeah.
Can you keep this going for a little bit, man? Just because I like it.
We got about another 40 seconds on this.
40 seconds?
Yeah.
I'll take it. Game 7, awesome thing. Finality is really what it means. We're in a situation now to where this Game 7, unlike the Cleveland and Celtics series, this could very well be the NBA champion. Whomever wins this game between the Warriors and the Rockets, in my opinion, is going to go on to win the NBA championship. I don't think I felt this confident about a Western Conference team beating an Eastern Conference team since the Blazers-Lakers series back in 2000. And I think it was Shaquille O'Neal that said, whomever wins the series is going to demolish Indiana. And that's exactly what Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant company did to the Indiana Pacers. But if the Blazers had went against the Pacers, I think the Blazers run all over the Pacers. In fact, I think the Blazers beat them 4-1. I don't think there was anything the Pacers could have done against this Blazers team. So now you fast forward that 18 years. Jeez, 18 years. That was a long time ago. So now we fast forward, and the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors go into what will be an epic Game 7. I think this is going to be a closer game than we imagine. If you look back at the last few Game 7s that we've had, especially involving the Warriors, this is the rubber match. Or not necessarily a rubber match, but they went to Game 7 against Cleveland. And came up short. But before that, they went to Game 7 against OKC, came out with that W. So now this is a great team, great time to see if they can go in there against a great, great Houston team. Because Houston is a great team. Despite what you saw last night, Houston is still a very, very good basketball team with or without Chris Paul.
You don't win 65 games without being a
great team. You don't. Without Chris Paul, they are a different ball team. But with him, they are as unstoppable as you can, as a team can be. What exactly do the Rockets have to do to, I guess, steal this game at home? because the Warriors look as unstoppable as they've ever looked, especially after last night. But also we've seen the Warriors look great on certain nights and then just look like crap the next night. We've seen the same thing from the Rockets. We've seen blowouts. We've seen close games. You don't really know what you're going to get from the series. Like, we've seen both teams win on each other's floor, which I don't think anybody really saw happening. But now here the Warriors are one game away from heading back to the NBA Finals for a fourth time in the Western Conference. That's a hard thing to do. The West, we talk about it all the time, as being very competitive, you know, from 1 to 7. You never know. Like, there were a lot of people, especially here in the town, that thought that, man, Portland can go all the way to the championship this year. And that was a real thought for people. And that's just to say that nobody was saying that about Philadelphia. I think a few people were saying that about Philadelphia. You know, a few people were saying it about Boston. Everyone's saying it about Toronto. But the Warriors, they talk championship every year. And they get to the championship every year. Adding Kevin Durant only made it easier for them to do it. But here's the interesting part. We've seen Steph Curry win without Kevin Durant. Can't this be Kevin Durant's, I guess, I don't want to call it a coming out party because he's Kevin Durant. He's been out. But can this be his stamp to say, this is my team? I am indeed the leader of this team. Now, mind you, we know Steph is, but as far as scoring the basketball, this is my squad. Because I think he needs to come out and have an NBA Finals type game that he had last year. Because so far, he's been great in these conference finals, man. Don't get me wrong. Kevin Durant, so far in the finals, he's the leading scorer in through these six games, averaging 29.2 points for the series. James Harden's just behind him with 28.1. So the superstars are doing what they have to do. Let me put this in context. This is how great the Rockets are. James Harden has to be perfect, especially with Chris Paul not playing. He has no choice. He can't come out. Last night, he had 32 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, and they got blown out. Wasn't enough for him. The Warriors have three dudes that are putting up 20 a night for the most part. Who's the other guy for the Rockets? It was Chris Paul. Now that he's out, who's that supposed to be? You thought it would be Eric Gordon. He showed up for some of the game. You thought it would be a PJ Tucker. Again, showed up for some of the game. Ariza, some of the game. Who's going to be there for the Rockets all game? Because this firepower that the Warriors have, I've never seen it before. It's almost unseen. You know, when was the last time you've seen a team with three superstars, each of them putting up 20 a night? Like, I've never seen this, and I feel like James Harden is in a bad position right now, because if he averages just what Steph is averaging for the conference finals, which is 24.6 points, the Rockets are getting blown out by even more. If he averages what Klay averages, the Rockets are really getting blown out. So he has to play phenomenal, damn near one-on-one basketball for most of the night.
Well, I think the key is, and this is the hardest thing to do because the supporting cast around him. And he's had, you know, great, you know, he's had pretty dang good teams these last several years. But, you know, come playoff time, one of the things that I think really hurts him is the fact that in playoffs, games get more physical. The whistle, they choke swallow on the whistle a little bit more. Yeah, and they don't blow it as much. And when the one criticism that's always followed Harden since he's been the guy is he likes to flop, and that doesn't work in the playoffs. Now, whether he's a flopper or not, I'm not going to say, but I do know that he has more of a finesse game than he does have that physicality game. And that hurts him, I think, in the playoffs, as opposed to a guy that's just going to take it to the rim and bully his way to the rim. And that doesn't play really to the Houston Rockets' strengths now that Chris Paul's gone, because no. He was your heart. He was your strength. He was your bad, bad dude that was on the floor.
And Chris Paul, it's funny because through his career, he's never really been regarded as a scorer. He's a playmaker, somebody that could score, but more so to get everybody's involved. Chris Paul is making incredible three-point shots. Like, hand in his face, fading away, splash mountain. There's nothing you can do about it. Like, we forget how good of a scorer he is because his entire career, man, he's had to play facilitator.
And he's a great team member. You know, he's a great guy that helps get the rest of his players involved. And I don't think that Harden doesn't do that, but I don't think he does it to as great of an extent as what Chris Paul
does. Here's what Harden doesn't do. Harden's not a barker.
No.
You know, and Chris Paul, and that's why people kind of consider him kind of a jerk or a-hole or overbearing, whatever, is that, man, hey, man, I'm going to bark at you. LeBron and Kobe, what do they have in common? Man, they have championships, but I'm going to be in my teammates' ear if they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Or yep. If I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, I'm expecting somebody to check me like Shaq would for Kobe.
Coach on the court.
At this point, James Harden has always been very much a team-oriented guy, but not like he's the Marcus Mariota.
He doesn't make people accountable.
No, and he's just the, man, let's go out there and just do what I, you know, he wants to lead by example. But sometimes you need to be in somebody's ear. Hey, man, chill or step it up or get out of the way. Do something. Like, you need to have that sometime. And Chris Paul is that guy. There was a spot in Game 5 where Chris Paul is looking at James Harden. You can tell he's talking to him saying, hey, man, let's go get this championship. Like, if you can't get up for this, that's what you need. Somebody that's – Draymond, that's what he does for his team. Mm-hmm. Pushing him in the chest, bro. Get strong. Get big. Let's go. You got to have somebody – and we use this term all the time, dog. You've got to have somebody with some dog in you. And Chris Paul is the biggest pit bull that the NBA has. And we've known that. We've known that for the past 14, 15 years or so since he's been. How long has Chris Paul been in the league? 14 years? 13?
Forever.
It's a long time. Yeah, it's a long time. So if he's this close to an NBA final, and I think Chris Paul's playing. I don't think you get to this point in his career. You've never been to the conference finals. You've never played in a game 7 in the conference finals. There's no way he doesn't play.
I
get it. I get why people would say he wouldn't. I get why D'Antoni would put it out there that he's probably not going to play. But the competitor that Chris Paul is, there's no way facing elimination, knowing that you're possibly going to go home, there's no way he sits down and watches that.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I would be surprised if he finished the game because I
expect him to play in spurts, start the quarter, you know, maybe in the fourth quarter. I don't expect him to play heavy minutes, but do I expect him to play and get the offense running? It's absolutely I do. Oh, okay, man. So who do you got in tomorrow's game 7?
Warriors.
Warriors, I'm going to go with the Rockets just because I love being right. And I've been on the James Harden train ever since he left OKC. So I'm a big fan of his, and I can't wait for him to finally win so I can say I told you so.
This just screams of, like, I mean, if Paul was there, I'm probably saying the Rockets. But yeah. Without Paul, I'm going to have to go Warriors. They're just not the same team without Chris.
There it is. All right, coming up next, Hate It or Love It, right here on The Fan. But first, Jesse has SportsCenter.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Hate it or love it, right here on The Fan, 10:35. I told you we'd be on time. You know, we're on time-ish, yeah?
A couple
minutes behind.
A few minutes behind schedule, but better than normal. We're a couple minutes better than normal.
Lynch, again, is out. He is in San Diego with his family. Hopefully he's having an awesome time in my favorite city in the United States. So I will be doing this one solo dolo. Jesse, go ahead and get me started, fam.
Well then. Let's see what we have here. Let's talk some football. An article was put out earlier this week suggesting that their two best teams to go from worst to first in their division, because every year there's somebody that does.
Okay.
That's the way the NFL goes. And there actually, when you think about it, are several good choices. One being San Francisco, but didn't make the list. Tough division, but I think that could be a possibility. But the two that made the list were my Denver Broncos.
All right.
And we're going to leave those out of this. The other being the Houston Texans.
Ooh.
Ooh, indeed. Love or hate, the Houston Texans have the best chance of worst teams to go from worst to first?
Love. I look at the Texans division, and we talk about it all the time. It is incredibly winnable. You know, really outside of the Jaguars, like who in that division could really see any of those teams? And now you're trying to figure out exactly what the Jaguars are going to do. Are they going to come back to life? Is this going to be, was that the one and done year for them? Like, was this the year that they go from worst to first? Every year you see it, and really the AFC South is arguably the weakest division in football. You can really make that argument that they're, you know, they have good players, but for whatever reason, the win-loss column doesn't always project that. The Titans are going to be up and down. You're still not sure what that's going to look like with Mariota and his new regime. You're not exactly, like I said, you're not exactly sure what the Jaguars are going to do after they just had an incredible run to the AFC Championship. Who knows what you're going to get from Andrew Luck and the Colts? Is Andrew Luck even ready to throw a football at this point, or is he even ready to do anything? Mm-hmm. So if there's any team that's really fit to do something right now, the Texans were on a tear before they lost their Rookie of the Year, what should have been Rookie of the Year quarterback. And if they get him back and he's healthy and he plays anything like he did before he went down, or even half as good as he did before he went down, then I think the Texans are the team to beat.
I agree. I mean, just so everybody knows, the New York Jets, 5-11, worse in their division. Cleveland Browns, worse in their division, 0-16. Houston Texans, 4-12. Denver Broncos, 5-11. New York Giants, 3-13. Chicago Bears, 5-11. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 5-11. San Francisco 49ers, 6-10. I agree. I think the one thing that Houston has always been missing, like, there's been one thing every time you've pointed to Houston, they've never had a quarterback. The best quarterback, basically, that they've ever had until Deshaun Watson has been Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub has been that franchise's best quarterback to date. Yeah. You have all the pieces. Your defense isn't quite what it was a couple years ago, but you still have some elite pieces on that
defense. You still have J.J. Watt. And as long as, yep, J.J. Watt, who is the Rob Gronkowski of defense, as long as he is healthy and able to play, I don't think there's a better defender in the league.
Agreed. You got wide receiver in Nuke. Nuke is DeAndre Hopkins is amazing. I think you have some. The running back position is probably my one concern on that offense. But I'll tell you what, Lamar Miller, the only time he's ever looked good playing for Houston is with Deshaun Watson in the backfield.
He had his. He really had a. And everybody thought Lamar Miller was going to be a huge part of what Houston did. And just not having your trigger man there kind of changes the way you were doing stuff, because Deshaun Watson had the ability to tuck and run and to roll out and run. And whenever you have that ability, man, you got to have running backs that end up wide open on certain things, and just like Lamar Miller was on sometimes. So I think I think the Texans are definitely the team that, of all the teams that were terrible from worst to first, the Texans are definitely the one that I would pick.
Yeah, no, that it starts at the quarterback position, and that's one thing you can watching Watson last year, he came across as a player that, as long as he stays healthy, is going to be special. And he improved from week to week, and it seemed hard to believe because he was putting up ridiculous video game numbers. But from week to week, that guy just got better. Yeah. Moving on, let's go to the Bay. The Bay, we're going to do the battle of the running back position. Either the 49ers or the Oakland Raiders, they're still the Oakland Raiders for now, have a real dominant running back. Now, the San Francisco 49ers went and signed Jerick McKinnon from Minnesota in the offseason. And technically, in Oakland, you still have Marshawn Lynch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So those are your two probably main or best backs that you have between those two clubs. Love or hate, Marshawn Lynch will end up with more rushing yards than Jerick McKinnon.
Hate. Marshawn, at this point, this is my opinion, nothing more than a mascot right now for the Oakland Raiders. Marshawn had an okay at best season last year in his first season with Oakland. He's only there because he wanted to play for his hometown before they actually moved to Las Vegas. So you're getting minimal effort from Marshawn a lot of the time. But the one thing you can say is, man, he rides for his team. When there was that whole fight incident, man, he ran onto the field to help out his teammate and everything. Like, Marshawn's always going to ride for you. But I think Jerick McKinnon, he's a younger running back. He's somebody that I think the Raiders think can be their feature back as they move forward. Marshawn at this point is nothing more than a bruiser. Maybe somebody that can be a third down back for you, maybe in certain situations if you're goal line or something like that. But I think Jerick McKinnon, this is the year that he really takes that step forward. And Marshawn, we've seen the slow regression already. So I think this is the year that he catches up to where his stance in the league. You know, he's been in the league for now like 13, 14 years, as long as Aaron Rodgers has. As a running back, been injured a few times, you know, a lot of carries. I think we've seen the best of Marshawn Lynch at this point.
Yeah, no, I think you've seen the best of Marshawn Lynch. I could see Gruden go in there and say, you know what, Lynch is my best running back, and I'm just going to run him in between the tackles. And yeah, I really try to use Lynch, but I think as far as explosiveness, dual threat ability, Jerick McKinnon's definitely the guy that has the upper hand there. Now, the one thing I think goes against him is they do have some running backs there that Kyle Shanahan really likes. Matt Breida had some moments last year, mm-hmm. And that was an undrafted rookie free agent for him. And then they didn't even get to see Joe Williams last year. And another one where Shanahan literally went up to Lynch during the draft and said, we need Joe Williams on this roster. And I could see some sort of committee brewing there with all those guys that Shanahan likes to do. And Shanahan also used a committee between two guys when he was in Atlanta. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I agree. I think Lynch is also going to be outrushed by McKinnon. Yeah.
Okay, how many points I get?
You won. You got so many points.
Woo!
Let's go 20 points. You got so many points.
That's what's up, man. Well, I'll take it, man. Play that victory music. Yeah, I get it. I don't care that Lynch ain't here. Yeah, appreciate it. You hear that sound, folks? That means I'm the winner. That means I'm in charge. And that means I get to decide what the next segment is right here on Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
I love this song. This is so uplifting. Like, I listen to this when I'm like lifting weights, or if I'm trying to like finish a report, or sometimes I just be in my car and I just need something that just lifts my spirits, man. So I love this song.
Yeah, I can see playing this one during workouts or team practices or something.
Yeah, it's, you know, and so I use this for my son and tell him, yeah, don't you ever give up, man. You don't quit over here. Glorious. Well, I have a question. So Jesse and I were kind of talking during the break, and there's a lot of people not showing up to OTAs, and they're frankly the stars of the team. So it's well documented that Brady hasn't been to camp so far, or hasn't been to OTAs, excuse me. Gronk hasn't been to OTAs. Aaron Donald hasn't been to OTAs. Julio. What's the other one? Odell Beckham, you know. So all the stars of the league, they're like, we're good. But if you know anything about Julio, you know that his workout routine is crazy. If you follow Odell Beckham on Instagram, I don't. But he often posts his workouts and what he's doing and everything. And if you know, outside of him dancing and stuff, those are the videos that he's posted a lot of times, is him working out, getting ready for the season. He was doing some work on the field, and what ankle? He didn't look like he had a problem at all. He looked awesome in off-field workouts. Do you really need to go? Like, I feel like if you're a rookie, if you're a first-year head coach, or this is your first, you know, this is your first year coaching a certain team, then yes, you definitely need to be at OTAs. But if you're Tom Brady and you're going on 41, you've been to the Super Bowl 8 times, and you've won 5 of them, what could I possibly learn from doing a group curls with everybody?
Well,
nothing.
They do run drills. They do pass the ball. And as much as the Patriots roster turns over every year, it turns over every year. Like, that's what Bill Belichick does. He doesn't pay players. He just brings new players in. And when you do that, I do think OTAs can be important as far as integrating new key pieces into your
So why
office.
Call them voluntary workouts if you're going to be mad that I don't show up? Like, and that's my thing. Like, it's like one of those unwritten rule type things. Well, just write the rule down so there won't be an issue. Because if you're leaving it to me and making it voluntary and say, hey, we need you to come to the facility, we're going to run through practices, or no, guys, you can just come over. If I'm Tom Brady, how about you just come over to my house? I've got all the same stuff. I got my trainer, Guerrero, here. He'll make us some pancakes. Like, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore because I don't need to anymore.
It's your job. Like, and then, I get that it's
voluntary. Then what I'm saying is don't make it voluntary. If these are just voluntary workouts, just say mandatory workouts and you need to be at all of them. But if you make them voluntary and I'm the star and I have all these same amenities either at my own home or at my trainer's home or wherever I work out, then I don't need to go to OTAs right now. Because why? I'm going to see you at training camp.
Yeah, but it's your job. I get that your games are only 6 years or 6 months, you know, out of the year. The other 6 months you're off or you're doing a little bit of training here, a little bit of training there. But, you know, it's the players that say, you know what, I know it's voluntary, but I'm going to be there. That's been Tom Brady. That's been guys like Peyton Manning that are going to be like, I'm going to be there every year. And he's the one that's leading the team during OTAs. He's the one that's setting the tone for what the year to come is going to be. And this right now, this is setting the tone. Now, granted, I think this is more important for teams that are trying to rebound.
Yes.
I agree with that. But I also think that there is something to be said about great teams understanding that I get that this is voluntary, but this is important to me continuing to be great, to the success of our team.
And I get it from a leadership perspective. You want to see your quarterback out there or your star receiver or whomever out there helping the younger guys kind of get to where they need to go. And I totally get that part. But again, if you're leaving the choice to me and you're asking me, do I want to come to these voluntary workouts and learn an offense, if I'm Tom Brady, that I know like the back of my hand at this point. Like, I know every nuance to this offense. I know every wrinkle. I know where every player is supposed to be, including my defensive line or offensive lineman on which plays. Like, I don't need to go to that. And like, I can really, and it's not like I'm not staying in shape. Brady, you know, his relationship with Guerrero is incredibly documented. We all know it and everything. So we know that he comes back in phenomenal shape. Like, you don't really need me. I think OTAs is for coaches to be able to get with, man, newer players and be able to work them into the system before training camp starts. That's what it is. It's like a transition. If you've ever been in high school or middle school and you're going to high school, most places have what they call an eighth grade transition. They set you up with a counselor or and everything, and this is probably going to be, if you're going to go to this school, this is going to be your counselor for next year. You tour the school. You get used to it before you actually go. That's what OTA should be. Something like, okay, I'm coming from college, different system. They're going to give me this NFL playbook. They're going to tell me some things that I need to know about, you know, about the team and some of those other things, almost like an orientation. That's what that should be. And then, okay, now you go out there and work with everyone else. When you start a new job, they just don't sell you, okay, well, you got it, so go out there on the floor and go find Jesse. He's going to show you around. No, they give you a training for a few weeks, and then they say, you ready? We're going to put you out there with Jesse. We're going to pair you with him. He's going to show you how to really do everything on the fly. They give you an opportunity to do that. That's what OTA should be.
That's what rookie minicamps are, though. That is what a rookie minicamp is for. The OTAs are, you don't go to a job, you do it for 6 months, take 6 months off, come back to the job, and you're as good as you were 6 months ago. You're not. You're not going to.
If you're sharpening those tools, though, on your own, then yes.
No, because once again, this comes back to the, you have added new pieces. You have a brand new left tackle, as you normally do in New England. You have to learn to, like, that left tackle needs to be able to communicate with Tom Brady. He needs to be on the same page, and that starts now. It doesn't start 3 months from now. That starts now.
I think that's something that starts that doesn't have to be at OTAs. That can be as much as Brady calling that new rookie saying, hey, man,
no, there's
Brady.
Timing.
Like, nice
there's
to meet you. Welcome to New England.
That's different than understanding how this guy blocks, how he pushes the defenders around. Is he better on his pushing guys to the left, or is he better at pushing them to the right?
Yeah,
is
but
he
they're not really going full contact at OTAs.
No, but you start learning these things. You start communicating. It's that being able to communicate with them telepathically as opposed to having the verbal communication. These are the things that you get now as opposed to having to try to work them out in the preseason, because you want to be beyond that come preseason.
I don't know. I'm just one of those people that doesn't like if you want players to show up and you're angry that they're not showing it up. Okay, well, stop making these voluntary workouts and make these mandatory for people to be here.
They can. It's the NFLPA.
Then at this point, man, you can't be mad at me for not showing up.
Honestly, and that's the thing though. But one thing, I'm going to go back to this. It's your job. Show up to your dang job. Like you get so much time off as a football player.
But if your job if your job said it was it's voluntary, you don't have to come. Nobody's actually coming. Are you still going
to
go?
Somebody who wants to be the best is going to be there.
So it looks like this outside, and your job's calling you right
now
saying
it's
voluntary. You don't really have to come.
Going
to
be there,
but it helps if you're here. It helps you, kind of gain. Yeah, I'm good.
Hey, Rashad. Next week, it's like, hey, show up to the show if you want. It's voluntary. And then you're like, you wake up and you're like, I'm going to go to the show. And you look outside and you're like, never mind. I'm not going to go to the show. And you do that for a couple weeks. And then you come back a month later. You're not going to be as good at the show.
I'm going to be great at the show is what I think. Well, good point. I disagree. But you made awesome points, as you always do, Jesse. We will be here full strength next week. I believe Lynch will be back. And then the week after that, I think he's going to be gone again. So we're going to work on getting a co-host to fill in. Had an awesome time with you guys. Thank you so much for texting in on the text line 55305. Get at us on Twitter at TaylorMade503, at Jesse Osmond. Have an awesome Memorial Day weekend. Barbecue a lot. Hit me on Twitter. Let me know where the barbecue is so I can actually come through and get myself a plate. Yeah, man. Don't do nothing I wouldn't do. And if you do, take pictures. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
This one's for Pat!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.